Lord, we thank you. We've heard it from the beginning of the service, and we continue to hear it today, that you, who were with no sin, became sin for us, so we might receive your righteousness. What an amazing gift. Lord, we pray that you would bless us now as we hear these words and as we take them to heart, that we may be your witnesses. We may be ambassadors of reconciliation, ambassadors for you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, I mentioned earlier on today that we're continuing our journey about what it means to no longer just be fans, but to be followers. I don't know if you know this, but there's kind of an epidemic in our land where people are excited to go and cheer on the pastor and say, "Yay, pastor, you do it. You're the man. You do it." And a lot of times the reality is that we have these big churches with staff who are paid and they're supposed to do the ministry and we just kind of support it. And yet what God is calling us to during this Lenten season is to ask the question, am I who God wants me to be? Because I'll tell you something. God wants you to be new, and he wants you to be more than you can ever imagine. Now, I know we're in a narcissistic generation, so I'm going to say this and be very careful about it, but it's true still. He wants you to be even more than you can imagine that you can be. Did you hear me right? Got that? He wants you to be even more than what you can imagine or think. Because he says, and this, if I had to take a passage of scripture with me and I only could fit one page, I would probably take John chapter 3 to kind of explain, you know, what God's love and his and that. And I would also probably try to fit in the bottom half this passage of scripture. Because it starts out by saying we're no longer going to think of Jesus from a worldly point of view. We're going to see him for who he is. We're going to see him and that he's just not in the flesh, but he is God, both God and man, and that we're going to recognize that he, through God, is making all things new. That God is taking the sin that we have and he's taking Jesus, and Jesus is a sacrifice for all of our sins. Kind of like, have you ever, when we were down in Mississippi, we were cleaning the bunkhouse there, and it was really dirty. And Eugene, you talked to Eugene about cleaning screens that have been left to not been cleaned for many, many years. And you take a white cloth, and you rub it over this very, very, very dirty surface. And what happens to that nice white cloth? It's black, right? It's completely dirty. And that's the type of thing that we need to realize is that we are that dirt, right? We celebrate that on Ash Wednesday. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. That's kind of hard in our society to think about that, but dust we are, and to dust we shall return. There's nothing we bring to God except our sin. And yet he wipes us clean. He says, in the Old Testament, he says he takes our sin, and which is red like crimson, and makes it as white as snow, meaning he cleans it, right? He takes it and he swaps our sin for his righteousness. Now, I want to talk today about what it means to be a witness, because one of the biggest things that when I think about how does the Lord want to change me and transform me and make me more like him during this season of Lent, one of the things that the Holy Spirit convicts me of is the opportunities that I have had over and over and over and over again to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to be an ambassador. You know, when Paul says we're ambassadors for Christ, he says God is making his appeal through us. Now, you might wonder why a God who knows everything would choose to use us. If I were God, be very thankful I am not. That was supposed to be funny. But anyways, yeah. If I were God, I'd definitely use a different delivery system. Wouldn't you? If you were in charge of everything, if you were the God of all creation, if you created the universe, would you not come up with some 3D type screens and just put them all over the planet and just be constantly saying, I am God, you are not, do what I tell you or else? I mean, really, would you not have a better delivery system than this? I mean, if you had the capability to do anything, would you not have a better delivery system than us? Pardon me? I wouldn't pick us either. I would pick a better delivery system because we are flawed. We have our foibles and our failures. We are not, by no means, the best delivery system for the message. And this is what convicts me. I think about all the opportunities that God just kind of lobbed the ball up and I just kind of let it go. It was a perfect pitch, you know. Here you go, Brian. And I'm like, oh. Any of you had those situations? No? You haven't had that situation? It's like a perfect pitch. It's like, here you go, Brian. It's like he's practically right there. And you just kind of turn away and go, I don't have time for that. How many of you have had an opportunity to witness and you just kind of like let it go? You didn't want to offend or you didn't want to be uncomfortable or you just didn't want to, you know, impose upon people. Yeah. And I just was thinking about the other day, and I'm getting ready to go to India, and I'm thinking about the fact that God is going to probably bring a lot of opportunities. And am I going to wimp out? Again, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I'm not saying we got to stand on the corner and say, with a big sign, say, turn or burn. You know, I'm not talking about being, you know, outspoken or clubbing people over the head. The guy that taught me evangelism when I went to Bible school, the guy who taught us evangelism was a football player, a retired professional football player. And he's a pastor of a church in Sherwood Park, Alberta. And his method when he first became an excited, on-fire Christian was to take people into the bathroom and basically promise to dunk them if they didn't believe. It didn't work. It worked for a very short time, usually until they called the police. It worked for a very short time. There was instant conversions, but they didn't last. So that's not the methodology I would think you might want to use. But we have opportunities. We have opportunities. God gives us opportunities, and that's why it's so important to recognize that we are His ambassadors. I loved watching movies when I was younger on military movies, especially World War II movies, and I loved it when ambassadors would come in to these very powerful people. And, you know, it never usually was Canadian ambassadors. It usually was American ambassadors or Russian ambassadors or British ambassadors, because Canadian ambassadors never really got much play. But or Nazis or whoever, the power people would send their ambassadors to talk to these leaders. And when they would come in, they would speak with such boldness because they were speaking on behalf of their nation. They were speaking on behalf of the power. Have you ever watched movies like that? I would love it when the American ambassador would come in and say something really profound, and I would say, yes, give it to him, you know? Yeah, and I mean, it's amazing when you think about the fact that God has decided that we are the delivery system. We are the people who He's called to be ambassadors. We are the people who He's given the ministry of reconciliation to. He's invited us onto this journey with Him, and He's going to give us ample opportunities to witness. My prayer is that as we go through this season, we ask the question, what are our impediments to witnessing? Is it because we don't know what to say? Well, then we have people that you can talk to that will help you. Is it we're not sure when it's a person of peace or when it's kind of being too forceful or when it's really a God-given opportunity or when it's kind of like we're kind of forcing it? We can help you with that. I mean, but the real problem is, a lot of people just won't engage. Like I said, God throws us this perfect pitch. It's like right there. All we have to do is swing. And what do we say? Oh, did you hear that? Squirrel! If you don't watch cartoons, you won't appreciate that. But, you know, how many of us How many of us have missed opportunities because we're not aware? And yet, this passage of scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, St. Paul says, we have the ministry of reconciliation, and God, in his wisdom, supernaturally with his power, is making his appeal through us. Through us. And I'm considering it a privilege to go to India, where the Prime Minister of India, I don't know if you know this, but right now he's not allowing religious groups to go in because he is a Hindu and believes that people need to have, if they're in the lower caste, they need to spend this life burning off their former karma, their, you know, what they did in their last life, so that in the next life they can come back in a better place. And he does not want groups, especially Western groups, coming in and telling them that Jesus swaps their sin for his righteousness, because that doesn't work. He wants them to suffer in this life, to be in pain and suffering, to do what is needed to be done so that they can burn off what they did in their last life, so that in the next life they might have a better life. Is that, can you imagine the burden that is? Just think about that. If you were living under pain and tremendous hardship, under tremendously bad situations, and you were told by your leaders, you need to do this for your whole life with the hope that maybe your next life will be better. I mean, really? You see where, how different, how totally in opposition God's plan and view and the what we confess as Christians is to that, right? You can see the difference. First of all, there ain't no other life. Sorry for my English, but I don't know how else to say it. This is it. This is our life. This is a gift. Live this life and then face judgment. That's it. For Christians, go to heaven. Right? That's it. No second chances. No another spin around the wheel. Nothing. This is it. And even better, Jesus says, I came, I died, so you can be new, so you can have a fresh start, and you can be forgiven. And better yet, I'm going to take your sin, because I don't have it. I'm going to take your sin, and I'm going to give you my righteousness. Can you see how much of a blessing that is in comparison to the burden? Can you see why, if you believed in that system, you wouldn't want people from this system coming in? Because doesn't this sound way simpler? Way more awesome? I mean, just think about that. You get saved by grace. You didn't deserve it. You didn't. You deserve what that caste is getting, but you get saved by grace because Jesus died for you, and the God who is talked about in the prodigal son story, right? The God who's waiting there on the porch for you to come back doesn't even let you get out your fancy words. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, blah, blah, blah. Didn't even get a chance to get it out, did he? What does the Bible say? Before he even got a chance to make his big speech, his father ran to him, put his arms around him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, a robe around him, and said, you are my son. Isn't that awesome? The guy who disowned him, the guy who spent all his money, that's the God we serve. That's the love that we are witness to. May we be ambassadors of reconciliation. May we be people who are not scared to witness, but take the opportunities God has given to us to be his witnesses here in Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County, Michigan, and throughout the world. Amen.